guy there, Maru. Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. Anybody there? Hello? Okay, nobody's there. Hi, Maro. Can you hear me? Hello?
Maro?
Okay. Hi, Maro.
Hi.
Hello. Greetings. Welcome to the Tangerine Dream Team Show. Yeah, you know, here we are. So who, calling? We got Maro and Mahia.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing just good, really fine here. And so what do you want to tell me about the recent activities up in Arcata and the Strawberry Rock? You call it a protest, or how do you want to frame your talk?
We just got off one of our excursions. They're kind of like little missions where we go over, and this time we activated a communication system that we were preparing, and we got a really nice donation from a very, very famous keyboarder. I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name. He's in one of the most famous bands in the world.
Donation of what?
Money.
Oh, nice. I'm glad for you.
And he bought an iPad and a smartphone and service and data. So the tree actually has a phone number. The iPad has a phone number. They have a Facebook page. It's Trinidad Tree Sitters.
Facebook page. Okay.
And so that's what we did this time. We went over on this excursion, but while we were there, because they needed manpower, we ended up doing some climbing. Not a whole lot, but... Mahia was, I'll let Mahia tell you, but just to give you a brief summary, in the 5-6 days we were there, we snuck in to a place where we had to hide, sneaking in, hide, sneaking out, and we visited a whale that was on the beach that was rotting, of course, but we did that late one night, and we were building platforms, and we were up in the trees, and down by the ocean. We were doing prayers. We were meeting with native elders. We did a sweat lodge with five of the sitters, with this Lakota shaman guy who's kind of become the medicine man of the sit in a way. And it's just really exciting what we're doing right now. I'm going to put Mahia on.
Yeah, because you...
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Mahia. You've been there really recently, haven't you?
Yeah. Like, I think we got back late last night.
Yeah.
And I only climbed once this time. And before we climbed, there was an owl that came and just, like, sat right next to us and was checking us out for about an hour, huh?
Or more.
And we moved around and he was blowing us around. And we started climbing the tree and it got, like, in a tree right next to the tree we were climbing. It was just watching us climb. And I climbed about 150 feet, I'd say. And Farmer and Seed were assembling traverses in the old sit. And
Farmer and seed are climbers, right? And the organizers.
Yeah, they're tree sitters.
Yes.
The
McKay Shack.
The McKay Shack. We were in the McKay Shack that was, it's still standing today because those tree sitters spent 4 years out there. And So we were up there, and then it started to get dark, and I was going to learn how to traverse, but something on my harness was, like, not exactly how I wanted it to be. So we went down, and that was the only time I climbed this time. But we were pretty much working on platforms and moving the tree sitters from one tree to another so they could potentially be safer.
Yeah, we had an unsafe situation building as one of the trees was dying more. It wasn't a tree that the sitters had been in at all. It was a freestanding tree nearby, and it was eventually it's going to fall very soon, it looks like, but it could have fallen right into one of the platforms, or went into one of the tree sits. So we had to abandon that sit and get the sitters into a new home. That particular platform had a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. A couple of experienced climbers, and it's really kind of a very romantic. And tree sitting is really awesome. I can't tell you just how awesome it is. People should be living in the trees because they really do. They guard you, and you can get up there. You can be up there in storms. If you do it right, you can handle it all year round.
And how high up are the platforms? Are they also 150 feet, or they vary?
They vary. Some of them, I think Julia Butterfly's tree was a couple hundred feet. Her platform was probably well over 100 feet. Most of the platforms are about 100 feet or better. There's a couple lower ones, so we can engage the public.
Yeah. Do you all go up there and sit there at the same time?
There's a lot of tree sitters at any given time.
And they're all near each other. And so the one that was too close to the other platform, did you move the climbers by taking them down, or did they go from...
No, actually they didn't have to come down. They could traverse to the other trees.
Yeah.
Let me explain that.
Yeah.
Traversing is when you run ropes. And I'm going to give you my version, not the official version of that definition, because I don't know the official version. I'm still a newbie. But my idea of traversing is they run ropes from tree to tree up in the canopy, and they use pulleys to shoot down the ropes. And then when they get to the center of the rope between the trees, then they have to haul themselves up the other side. So gravity takes them to the middle, and then they got this haul upwards. And the Treetopia in the McKay Tract, and people can go look at that. That's Dancing in the Treetops on YouTube. It's called Dancing in the Treetops, and it's a farmer and a couple other experienced multi-generational tree sitters. Farmer's been around a while. That's what I'm trying to say.
That was put out there a couple years ago. But you have some more recent ones, also shorter ones. But now Dancing in the Treetops is this orchestrated kind of a 3-minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying where that was shot, it's Treetopia.
Treetopia.
And that had 55 trees attached to each other. And the timber people who come up to extract the tree sitters, sometimes violently, they can't deal with traversing.
Oh, yeah?
It's not something they do in their business. That's something that was created, you know, for other purposes. So they don't do it, and I doubt that they would trust the tree sitter's rope like that. They just would take a lot of courage, even though the tree sitters really know what they're doing. You know, accidents do happen occasionally. But... So that's really cool. That was almost like five, I think he said between 5 and 6 acres was Treetopia, 55 trees.
Oh.
So it gets to be pretty immense. And given enough time, they would build all kinds of things between. mean, the ingenuity, there was with nothing to do in a pile of lumber, a tree sitter is going to get off his pit sooner or later, and he's going to build something. It's kind of the nature of the individual who would get up there and do that in the first place.
So how do they build from being up there? Do they
Well, they can hang like spiders on webs, so it's pretty easy to build.
Oh,
they don't have to feed on the ground. And I didn't think about that. I had that same question just yesterday, and they explained it to me. It's like, no, well, you can actually just, like, hang and free fly around and you know, like George Jetson, and build your platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's many ways. There's many sciences behind building platforms, many ways. I saw a picture of one platform that was absolutely huge, and it went, and a lot of them are donut platforms that go all the way around the tree.
Oh. What's the biggest circumference tree that you're sitting in any one time the platforms are on?
Where we're at?
Yeah, the Treetopia area.
Oh, those were significant old growth. I'm not sure what they're at least 12, 14 feet across, I think.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh.
I should measure some of the stumps out there, but...
Are they all about the same size, all the trees that are in that group?
No. They've got some old second and third growth. Where we're at now, at Strawberry Rock, the timber company says there's no old growth, but we've found old growth. You can find old growth by being in the canopy and looking, and you can see it.
Yeah.
So they get a compass bearing, they go back down to the ground, and they walk over to it. I was there when they did one that was close by that they hadn't noticed before.
Huh. What do you mean they didn't even notice it? Don't they mark every tree like...
No. The tree sitters hadn't noticed it.
Oh.
Yeah, so they said, oh my God, there's another old growth. So they took a compass bearing, and one of the veteran tree sitters and my daughter went and walked over to it. Verified, yeah, it's an old growth. So that in itself should tell you that the timber company really just kind of rubber stamping or boilerplating their THP process. It's not as individual as they would like you to think.
How many times have the what do you call the timber company people? Anyway, how many times did they come by?
They've called some sort of truce with this situation for now, because they got into a public debate the use of Strawberry Rock, as well as the path going onto it, and the public pretty much stood up for it at town hall meetings where Green Diamond showed up and the press would show up. Well, the public showed up in big numbers and said, "Hey, we've already been using that path. No one's ever stopped us, so we're going to exercise our right." To, you know, it doesn't really matter what paper says. The fact is that trail has been used without interruption for many, many generations, actually for thousands of years. So there was no way that would hold up in court for Green Diamond. They kind of realized that, so they capitulated 27 acres verbally, but it hasn't absolutely been finalized. But the real point is there's another 600 some acres around it. It is a beautiful rainforest that some could argue needed thinning because of the last two managements of the cutting there. But there's still some old growth, and it just came out about 3 weeks ago that the coastal redwood right here, our own little baby redwoods, are the most efficient carbon storing forests on the planet. That the redwood itself is the most efficient tree for carbon storage. That just came out. So in light of that, it makes sense for all timber companies to pull out of the whole region.
Yeah, if they would read their own. So that was what the scientists came out with, the sustainable scientists report.
I'm not sure who put it out, but it was sent to me across the SPI list, And then I saw references to it immediately out there in the environmental media.
Yeah.
So I know the report to be true, or to be that it actually was published. You can tell by how fast the redwood grows that it's doing some massive storage, and much more efficient and speedily than say a Doug fir or another tree that, you know, in 80 years isn't ready to cut, because you can cut redwoods in 80 years and get some forest products out of it. Not like you do with an old growth, but, you know, we've gone long past the time when we should be allowing old growth to be cut. So the fact that they say that there's no old growth in there, they're either lying and intend to cut it, or they've mismanaged their survey process so bad that they don't even see an old growth when it's in front of them.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend who's in Southern Oregon, who's an environmentalist, and that was just tonight. He was saying that he'd like to get into forest management because there's just not enough of it. And right there down in Sebastopol, where he was, at Green Valley, there's a eco village there, and people, you know, they didn't know, have any idea how to manage forest, and all the topsoil runs off, and you know, there's a lot of things you need to know and what you need to do to manage a rainforest. And I don't know if you can add to that, but so maybe that's just power for the course. They don't know what they're doing, and they wouldn't even know an old growth. They wouldn't know if they missed it or not.
It kind of cracks me up that the guys who actually, you know, devised the cutting itself, they're called floristers. And you go to school to get that. And it's like, how long do you go to school to learn how to make a vacant lot?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems, you know, just really,
yeah, got it.
Insulting. It would be insulting to be called a forester and do what they do.
What? Yeah.
It's so, you know, illogical, and it's like No Child Left Behind. And look what happened to our school system. Healthy forests, and then clear cutting came up. Why is it that the Heyoka has to call it the opposite of what it really is? Carl, do you know?
The Heyoka needs to step down. Yeah, they don't really.
It's like,
you know,
the cops. They say protect and serve on their cars, but.
Well, we know that they have special license plates on their cars. They get protected from everything. This is one weird bad joke. Like, we'll get special privileges just for being that. I don't know. They have to say the opposite. They have to pretend that they don't know. I don't know. They can't do anything, I guess. Then they end up not being able to do anything. But they say they can. Say they know everything.
Well, I'm working on my own inner growth so that I can love them while I do this work.
And how would you accomplish that so that they don't kill you?
I don't know. I'm beginning to think that it just comes with age, because life beats you down to where you just mellow out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm feeling that now. It's like coming home from these missions over there in Trinidad. I'm exhausted when I get back, because we don't sleep much. I'm sleeping on couches, or, you know, there's a lot that I would love to say about what we do, but I can't. And
it's I'm sure everything is awakened, just the embodiment of being there among those special beings, those tall ones. Yeah.
And, you know, watching what it's doing to my daughter is
all the better. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, if I had the kind of skills that she has when I was 16, I would have gone along a lot further. She's driven by the need to save her own ass and,
yep,
you know, the future. She really is. She means it. When she means it, and she's helping the elderly over there. She's working with the Yurok elders, you know, in the kitchen and helping them with their, mm-hmm. and even preparing some for bedtime.
Is Mahaya? Oh yeah, is she there right now?
Yeah,
Handy. Mahaya, do you mind if I ask? Do you feel like there's an agelessness, and have you like gotten beyond any kind of like identity with the age you are? Do you just feel like you're one with it? How is it for you?
What do you feel about this guy,
Steven? Oh, sorry. I feel like those sitters. Pretty much since day one, they took me in as family.
Yeah? Are there a lot of them that are older than you? Are you,
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're all, like, bigger brothers, sisters, and, I love them so much, and we've just, like, all connected, and we complete each other, and we just drive each other, you know? We are each other's motivation.
And the elders you're helping, are they also up there, or are they on the ground, or both?
No, they're on the ground right now, but hopefully one day we'll be able to get them at least up there and to sit. Maybe not necessarily in the trees, but hopefully we will get them in the trees.
Do you find it that you're going to be able to ascend at a faster speed, or how many feet per second do you go, or is it all just according?
Last time it was kind of fast, like you can control it,
and
sure how fast you go.
Yeah,
and I like to go fast because it's just fun. Mm-hmm. And really it's really safe, because if you let go of the line,
mm-hmm.
and you let go of your pressix, you'll stop. But if you're like, yeah, it's called a death grip. And if you're descending and you're holding on to your pressix like you're supposed to, just like letting them slide down with you, then if you're holding on to your pressix too tight and you let go of the line, you pretty much just fall until you let go of your pressix to catch you.
Yeah, you have to totally trust and let go of everything, and then it catches you.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but it usually doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's unnatural to do what you have to do.
Oh. Yeah, it is like flying a little bit.
Like, yeah.
Do you see other, like, you know, squirrels and things? They just kind of fly around, too.
The flying squirrels there are mostly nocturnal, I've heard.
Oh, yeah?
And they like to steal your breadcrumbs and, like, whatever you leave out. And actually, one of my friends, he had a flying squirrel poop in his pocket, and when he woke up, he stuck his hand in there and was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. They
like to get in warm bodies, huh? They like to get on.
Steal your warmth.
Coral?
Yeah.
Mahaya's going to explain what we know about the prayers that are made coming in and out of there.
Very good. Yes.
Okay, hold on. The prayers. You know, what we've been told to do, because everybody should be doing. Well, not that so much, but where. Yeah, the where we're doing.
Okay. So, when we come in and out of the region, in and out of, there's this place called Vista Point, and it's when you come into
the Arcata area.
It's when you come into the Arcata area, and you're supposed to stop there, and you offer some tobacco, and you pray for the spirit to guide you and what you're doing, and you just let them know that you're coming through, and you walk with a good heart, and you're coming to help them and do some of their work. And then when they're on the other side, completely, is it Vaishnavab or Mamala?
Oh, you mean the little river?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before you get into Trinidad, There's a place called Eel River, and you're entering there, a very specific Yurok area. So again, it's you take the time at where the river meets the ocean or somewhere on that river, and you ask the spirits to be gentle with you. You're coming through, and you know, tell them your intent. You want to tell them why you're coming through, and then back again, you reverse that on the way out. You say goodbye that way. So the way it was put to us by Yurok Elder Jeannie L. McCovey,
yeah,
is that you don't want to leave any parts of you behind.
I see.
You don't want to be fragmented.
Okay.
And it is a really powerful spiritual area, and it's got a lot of dark energy.
Okay.
And you know, most of the power spots do, and kind of like Big Ben's dark energy. You can feel that things have happened there that aren't rectified, and there's a lot of unrest.
Do you think it has uninterpreted by human being a waking state, or do you think it's like a dream state? And what I mean by that is just something that's subconsciously there, but or is it just not that? It's just externally happening?
Oh, it's externally happening, for sure. It's a very crowded area, because Arcata, Eureka, so it's Yurok, Wiat, Hoopa, Karuk. I know I'm leaving at least one out, but there's a former alliance there. Well, I don't really know politically what they have, because we're not following the political Native Americans.
Okay.
We're working with the traditional ones that are representing their cultural values. The tribal councils are representing financial interests, and a lot of traditional Yuroks, for instance, are having trouble with their councils trying to prevent them from having their ancestral land rights. It was a very rich area before the white man took it down. As far as Native Americans, they were really wealthy in the resources that they had. And since that's all still there, and the land that they do have within their reservation borders is beautiful, it's gorgeous, along the Klamath, but it seems like the tribal councils are acting just like Washington in many ways, in every way, from what I've seen. So we're really not paying attention to them at all. They stand opposed to the tree sitting. But on the other hand, we're being blessed and prayed with, thanked, and invited by traditional people. And that's being represented on the Facebook page, Trinidad Tree Sitters, where we're trying to give people a look at what it's like, for at least one or two tree sitters. We're not spreading out too far with the Facebook page, because it wouldn't be good strategy to show green time and exactly what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. So you just show them a little section.
Yeah, we're showing them around the communications tree, basically.
And what media that you also relate to when you go to you said the platforms that are lower than the tree, is that for some reason? Because are you on a TV show, a TV station?
Yeah, occasionally. I see stuff already on the Facebook page of reporters trying to get a hold of us. But actually, there's a trail right underneath the lowest platform on Neptune. And you can have a conversation without yelling at all to somebody on the trail. And on the trail, on the weekends, there might be 60, 70, 80 people, maybe more, on a day go by.
Oh. Do they stand there, or do they bring things? Do they yell things?
Well, they're on their way to Strawberry Rock.
Okay.
And speaking of Strawberry Rock, I should mention, too, that the Yurok traditional people have asked people not to climb Strawberry Rock, but to admire it from a distance, kind of like not climbing to the top of Mount Shasta. Because Strawberry Rock is a sacred ceremonial place for young Yurok women. I think like coming of age ceremony.
That's why it's called. I mean, it's only used for that now.
Well, no. If everybody had their way, I believe, you know, as far as the timber company and all that, they would pulverize strawberry rock into gravel because it's made of a material that makes excellent road base. Uh-huh. And they've already pulverized, without any resistance from the tribal council, their most sacred rock is already gone.
Huh.
I think that one was called Potato Rock. And they did another two rocks, so it's like three of the four big rocks. And these are big rocks. They stand out on the coastline. You can see them for, I would guess, 100 miles on a good day. Yeah, and there's a quarry there where there's tremendous explosions. First thing in the morning, they start blowing up things. And that's the old rock, Potato Rock. So, you know, that just reiterates what I just said about the tribal council. There was no resistance to that.
And what? So the tribal council is not participating in this either, is it?
The tribal council is pretty much allowing Green Diamond to clear cut and run around and do what they want.
And you say a native elder has been officiating, or isn't that, is this the organizer, what did you call him, the overseer?
You're talking about Jeannie McCovey?
Yeah, I was thinking of that other man, who I guess I can say his name, right? Jack?
Oh, Jack Nounan. Yeah, Jack's not native that I know of. Jack is an incredible human being. He's 81 years old. He's as spry as a 45-year-old. And tall, handsome, good-looking, blue-eyed, single.
All right.
And
he's known these ways.
He's been with Tree Sitters since probably the beginning. He's been part of the big Redwood Summer. He was Julia Butterfly's team. He was there. All the major campaigns, I understand, Jack was there. And he sees the bigger picture. He's Buddhist. He's just an incredible man to be working with. And he is like one of the big flaming fuel of the ground team. He makes sure that Tree Sitters are fed, anything. He plugs any leak in the dike. He's got the finger in it first. Wherever it pops up, he's incredible. Can't say enough. He's an angel. Thank you, Creator, for sending him.
Well, yeah, thank you to him. And he knows Jeannie McCovey from other times?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and Standing Bear, too, he has energy going this way, too. Some Sundancers around him are helping out in a big way. And he's giving me a lot of spiritual energy and direction in this as well, and participating with me on different levels.
Okay.
There's another gentleman named Jerry, and he's a Lakota, and he's a medicine person. He is the most shamanic person I've ever hung out with. And he's sweating us down, taking care of us, helping us with our prayers. And we're just moving forward. And
yep. Mm.
We're looking for Native Americans who want to get in the trees with us. We really, really want
yeah.
them to experience this.
Do you think they're just a very resistant because of the past of what their heritage and what they've seen their relatives and go through? What they've just very unsure of it. Or is it that they just pretend they're not interested, or are they?
Well, I'm in the outer skin of the onion with the Yurok tribe.
Okay.
Except for Jeannie. I feel she's like at the heart of it. So there's all that between the heart and the outer skin that I don't know about. And out there is the drug rehabs, the dances that they have, you know, the cultural things that they have, and the modern things that they have. And I haven't been to any of the dances, although I've been invited. But I'm sure there's plenty of Yurok youth and the energy to learn this and to take a stand with us. So we could actually get behind them doing it. It makes more sense for us to be led by them, like we are being led spiritually and in a lot of direction by just our conversations with Jeannie McCovey, and there are others too that recently we've begun conversation with, but that were there the whole time. They've been there for the whole year. This tree sit's been there. They've been supporting it. It's just, we're all just trying to find each other right now. And in doing so, I think many, many avenues are going to open up very quickly for us.
And how was it that you learned of this? Was it from getting a call from Jack himself?
No, I learned of this because I read about a photograph that was taken in Strawberry Rock that insulted the Yurok people. And somebody had convinced activists and other people, hippies, whatever, to take their clothes off and take their picture on Strawberry Rock. And it was the photographer who misled everybody. And I believe that the majority of the people were innocent and that they were just uneducated as to what was going on. And again, you know, Jeannie and the Yurok traditional people say, do not climb Strawberry Rock. Well, they climbed it and they took this photograph to bring attention to Green Diamond's clear-cutting plan.
Uh-huh.
And it just, you know, it just broke everything apart in many ways. And it just seemed like it was senseless and just another, you know, loud, dumb person walking through the woods kind of thing. So we went over there right away and just intuitively found who we needed to bring back together. And it didn't take very much because everybody's heart is in saving the planet right now. And nobody seems to be letting anything get in the way. I've seen a lot of stuff get cleared out of the road in the last month.
How do you mean?
Just stuff that was keeping things from functioning correctly, misunderstandings being rectified, apologies. I've seen a lot of stuff go down in the last month that just basically tells me everybody is ready to take a stand.
Do you mean pertaining to this? Now, how do you think it's affecting it on the large picture?
I can only imagine that the other, you know, visionary activists all over the planet are doing the same thing. I can only imagine that the things that I'm feeling is like above, so below, is happening everywhere. So I'm just taking my own little front. For us, we come all the way from Shasta County, but we can't get a tree sit going over here. There isn't the kind of support that you get in the Arcata, Eureka, Trinidad area. Humboldt County is incredibly liberal.
Uh-huh.
And over here, they 85% voted for George Bush the second time where I live.
Huh.
So getting a tree sit going, it's probably just all that means is spending a lot of time in jail.
Oh.
And over there, you can dodge them. You can work it. And
incredible.
Green Diamond has not come out and said, hey, get out of the tree. They said just the opposite. They said, well, we're going to leave you alone.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we're not going to leave them alone.
So it's ongoing as far as, you know, into the near future. You're going to be continuing.
Yeah, the people I met don't stop.
Okay.
They don't stop. This is not going to stop.
When will you go back and be part of this tomorrow? Maybe you don't have to answer that.
Yeah, it might not be good to answer that, but...
But it's ongoing, and that's all we need to know.
Yeah.
So would you encourage any of your other children to do this?
Yes, I think my son, who's just turning 13, I think he would make an incredible tree-sitter. Climber. I don't know about sitting. I don't know if he can sit.
Climber.
Sitting. My daughter has become incredibly zen.
All right.
And she can do it. She can do it better than I can do it, I'm sure. Everything about once her feet leave the ground is better than what I can do. So, yeah, I want
nice going.
To learn, though, because the kids need to learn how to, I would say that even my 10-year-old.
Yes.
Is she 11 now? Yeah. She should do it. My 8-year-old, he definitely can do it. It's small harnesses. I wouldn't let him get very high up into the air at all. But learning to climb can save their lives. It can be used in migratory skills, and I think everybody needs to learn migratory skills.
Very good. Very good.
And hey, this isn't. If this doesn't get any better, that means it's going to get worse. If it's going to get worse, I completely condone the upcoming generation from doing whatever they have to do to fight for their future. I don't get in the way of whatever they want to do.
All right.
Because if it gets by me and my generation, and then, yeah, it's a wildfire. So, and it already is getting, it's already gotten by us. So go for it. And if you want a tree sit, contact us at Trinidad Tree Sitters on Facebook.
All right, that's what people should do. And they'd be able to come up and talk to you there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are you doing for Monsanto?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
Nothing. No, I don't. I try not to participate in their products.
The Monsanto Day is coming up, October 12th.
Oh, I know. See, what did I say about that? There's lots of, I don't know at this point what to tell you, but.
Okay, but you were planning on doing something?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Listeners, you hear that? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I hope there's a lot of people like that.
Do you want to talk about the Blue Corn Project or touch on it or what it means so anybody can. Like, no, there's an alternative.
The Hopi corn.
Yes.
Is, if people want to contact, check out the Blue Corn Project on Trinidad, or on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, the what is it? It's called the Blue Corn Project, or is it the Hopi Corn Project? Blue Corn Project. I should know, I created it. The Blue Corn Project.
And it's about Hopi corn. Because you can do dry farming, and that grows.
Yeah, Grandpa James Cootsey, the author of the Tekwek, one of the authors of the Tekwek Ekashi newsletters, and the producer of the movie of the same name. And I think they call it now the Hopi story on YouTube. It's like almost 2 hours long. People should watch it. It'll show you how they grow the corn. It'll show you so many of their dances. You'll hear their songs all the way through it. It's really old footage.
Really old footage?
Yeah, so I think it's called The Hopi Story. And the guy who made that movie is the guy who grew the corn that I have now and that I'm giving away.
Well, that's wonderful. We might have another call that's, who knows, second here. I might have to call them back. Okay, I don't know who that is. Maybe we can get them on. Let's see. All right. They hung up. Well, they'll call back. And were you expecting any people you know to call?
No.
And
are we streaming?
We're streaming.
Oh, my. Anything could happen.
Yeah. So if that was a caller about what we're talking about, this is very excellent. Please call back. You know, you can be part of the conversation about the Strawberry Rock Tree Sitting event and life-changing reality here with some of the most efficient organizers I know.
What's that?
You and your family and all the people up there. You know, we're all talking about how wonderful it is that you've created this for us, and how, you know, it's going out on the stream and people are getting aware of it. Now they can go to Facebook at least and see what part of the world that we're talking about. You know,
we hung out with a whale the other night.
Was the whale alive?
No, the whale, the best they can figure is the whale got caught in some crab lines or some sort of fishing rope or something. And it was pretty significant, probably as long as, what do you think, a school bus?
Oh.
That was too big? A little longer than a large fan, like a box fan, something like that.
A little larger. How large was it?
A little larger than like a Brinks truck van, bigger than that, but not as big as a school bus.
Okay.
And it wasn't tall, and it definitely deflated on the beach, but it was pretty eerie. We went in the middle of the night, and it was, the moon was shining on the carcass. And I wish I had my camera, because I think there was enough light reflecting off it that I would have gotten a picture. But it was a really eerie. So that was just like a little extra thing we did. And we were running around with a Geiger counter because we had detected a radiation jump on a dosimeter that was part of the tree sit. One of the organizers had the dosimeter on him, and when he passed by the power plant in the bay, it made a significant jump, and the dosimeters that we've had in 10 years, they've never jumped. So something happened, and we haven't ruled out that it was a technical flaw of some kind, maybe even some sort of hit. We got banged around, but he doesn't remember any of that happening to it, and I don't know that would do it anyway, but something did make it move, and the Geiger counter is showing a larger, is showing more activity over there than over here.
Were you able to determine if it was in Arcata particularly, or where was?
I think the power plant is by Eureka, Manila area.
Oh.
I'm not sure exactly. He was telling me that where it happened. And then we also went behind, there was a mall that had an area that locals say that they had dumped toxic stuff at. And when we went by there, I think we did three passes, and the Geiger counter it went up, right? As we would go by the mall, and it would stop, go back down as we passed it. And then a Walmart truck did the same thing. We went right next to a Walmart truck, and the meter doubled as we went by it. So I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know, you know, what who's doing what, but I wouldn't be surprised if some Walmart trucks weren't really Walmart.
I see what you mean.
Well, I know that when the United States moves radioactivity, military or you know, anything that has to do with energy, it's moved in such a way that terrorists can't get to it. So they would easily hide it in a Walmart truck or something painted that way. But right there where people were talking about there were toxic stuff, the truck itself definitely was hot.
It was caught?
It was hot.
Radioactive.
Just, you know, another little tidbit, you know, associated with that area, there is definitely a lot of really weird and heavy energy there.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, okay. So that's...
You know, there were huge massacres there. The entire Wiat Nation was brought down to just a handful, and some claimed that only one person survived.
And that one person is still able to make a difference, right? The relatives.
Cheryl Seidner is a Wiat person, and she talks about that. And she was a tribal leader, and she's an activist.
Okay.
And she was part of the Wiat getting an island back that was taken where the massacre was. They were willing to buy the island, and then when they put it into escrow, they found a clause in escrow that basically said if the Indians ever asked for it back, pretty much give it to them.
Uh-huh.
I think after the massacre, whoever was involved with that must have, in their guilt, must have put that clause in there, knowing that only one survived or a handful survived, that, wow, if they ever get it together to come back, maybe, you know, just give it to them. So it was written into it that all they had to do was ask for it, and then they had to get the island. So they're giving them a big chunk of the island back. Well, not a big chunk, but they're getting some of it.
Well, yeah, very good. Making some strides towards, you know, honoring the treaties and what was written before.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Nobody claims to have ever signed a treaty over there either.
No one?
Apparently the Yurok say that they have no treaty. And I don't know that the federal government is disputing it. And if that's the case, I'm wondering how the railroad land grant would hold up in a modern courtroom with a bunch of New York lawyers on the side of the traditional natives making that claim. Because if they have no treaty, how would the United States government have the authority to give the railroad every other section, which then turned into the timber companies, which then turned into resource extraction?
All right.
That would be beautiful justice. That could come at home.
Well, sure would like to know if that's going to be coming up. Yeah.
Nothing I'm going to be able to bring to the table, but I think I see it sitting there.
Yes, you do.
That question has to be asked.
Yeah.
That's something else. If somebody wanted to join our team just specifically to look into that, my God, we would welcome that kind of help.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad that can happen. Get some people doing that, you know.
Are you leaving? Oh, I thought Mahia was leaving. We got to go pretty soon, Coral.
So tell me one or two more things, and it's sure been exciting to hear about this. And so have they accomplished what they've set out to so far?
I would say that the most ambitious two people, myself and, I'd say there's three really ambitious people, because there's been a lot of downtime since the last revolution of tree sitting. It's been a good decade since it's really been significant. And I think there's new wind in three of us, and that's myself and the head of Earth First over there, and Jack, the older guy I was telling you about. And what the three of us can accomplish, it was already exceeded. What we plan to do had already happened by the time, you know, we looked back at our last week and said, wow, we're all pretty amazed. So we recognize that the hand of spirit is all over this. And, you know, we're getting more than the sum of our parts. And really think that, you know, this is it. This is the time to save the planet. We've got to at least wake people up to where they can be prepared.
Yeah.
Actually saving anything is questionable.
Do you know what they're facing to see it and be not asleep during it? You know?
Right. And if we can turn it, we're going to turn it with prayer, but we need everybody.
Yeah, and everybody on their abilities, so they're able to contribute. And
Yeah.
Glad you're helping do that, Mauro. Thank you.
And thank you for your roles in all this, too. I know you're a voice for all the things that everybody's doing.
Well, that's a very kind compliment.
I love you, Carl.
I love you and all of you. All of you that can hear my voice.
So we're going to get out of the wind. We're kind of like blacked out. We don't have our hydroelectric system going, so we have no electricity.
Hey, you guys are awesome. So I appreciate always somebody in touch. And thank you. Godspeed. Be well
thank
always.
Thank you,
Bruce. And, Oh, thanks. Bye-bye. So bye. Long. Bye. Okay.
Great.
Okay. You heard that. It was quite a good conversation, and glad that happened. So let's get back on to some music.